HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Today I am Phil Donovan, who is Principal Consultant for Brightwater Recruitment, and IFA specialises in the placement of human resource candidates. IFA, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Declan. Thanks very much for having me.
No problem at all, no problem at all. Just to kick off, obviously we're recording this, COVID-19 is still in full effect, as we know. How's that affected yourself and your colleagues in Brightwater?
Yeah, fine. I mean, like, internally, I guess for us, we were kind of kicking back to normal there with everyone back in the office. But as you know, obviously with the new restrictions that have kind of stepped us back a little bit. So a little bit of a step back, but we're still very busy, which is good. You know, we've really seen an increase in the last 2 months or so. So nothing negative there, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Most people working from home, is that still the case?
Most people, everyone's working from home now again, yeah. So there was a couple back in the office, but we're all back at home now. So working away fine.
Excellent. And you're still busy, which is a lovely way to ask.
We're very busy.
Yeah, excellent. How is the HR jobs market at the moment? What does it look like? What did it look like in February compared to now?
Yeah, so I suppose, like, God, it's changed an awful lot. So at the start of COVID, right, we were very, obviously, look, across all industries, I think there was a huge amount of uncertainty and a huge amount of quietness, really. Everything just became frozen. I think that from this moment we kind of all went into lockdown and we went working from home, there was a huge amount of uncertainty, not only on the candidate side, but on the client side. You know, roles are being put on pause, and for good reason. They didn't understand where their roles were going. They couldn't understand if they could release them or they could continue with interviews or anything like that. So it really was kind of slow for the first month or so. But I suppose after that, like, COVID genuinely has had a really, really busy effect on HR, and HR in particular, because there's, for many reasons, right, ranging kind of from redundancies or restructuring, unfortunately, you know, it's a huge part of HR. Then from, I suppose, getting everybody set up from work from home, liaising with IT to ensure that they have their monitors, their cameras, if something breaks, to ensure that something is set out, you kind of, you log your ticket to HR for that kind of thing. Then even liaising with finance for the COVID payment scheme, you know, that was all HR as well, having to be really busy with that. And then for the other side, it's ensuring that employees are engaged and motivated, you know. So it's that side of, if you're in a small business, HR is probably doing that themselves. If you're in a larger business, the HR teams are usually training the managers or the people managers in order to ensure that their employees are well equipped to be able to still do their job, you know. So in short, yes, COVID has had a huge effect on HR, but it's genuinely been just really busy.
Yeah. Two questions. What roles do you find that are busy at the moment, and what skill sets do you think employees in general demand?
Yeah, sure. So I suppose the roles that we have seen the most busy at the moment, funnily enough, so interim and contract roles, I've seen a huge increase in those, and that is mainly, I suppose, due to the nature of, look, they may not necessarily have had a negotiator in if they're going through redundancies, or they may not have somebody to look at the culture side of things. So they've brought in people on an interim or a consultancy basis, you know, so they took on a HR consultant who might well be used to doing that kind of thing for either for a company or for themselves. But senior leaders are high in demand at the moment, I suppose, and that's, you know, I suppose because of their broad scope, because everything needs to be done down to the admin to layoffs, you know, so there's a huge scope. But I suppose in short, like, the titles, you'd still see a huge demand for HR managers, HR business partners, right? That's always been a very broad title for us, and people like me recruiting, I could have four different HR business partners and all be doing exactly the same thing, or I could have them all to be doing really, really different things, you know. So I suppose their specific titles haven't changed, but what has changed is their scope. They are going in now, their skill sets basically kind of need to be adjusted, and they would say before COVID they might be working on three different things: recruitment, a little bit of employee relations, and we'll say a small bit of training. Okay, and that's their job, you know. It will fluctuate, it always will fluctuate, but what we're seeing now is they're the conversations that I'm having with people are they're taking on 7 extra things, you know. So now they're doing training for the managers, now they're doing engagement, they're trying to keep culture going, and at the same time they might actually be doing restructuring, you know. So they might be trying to plug skills gaps that might have evolved over COVID, and just developing, trying to develop new skills as well, and just ticking away with it. But just in short, I suppose the titles are still there, but their scopes are really, really broad now, which isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah. I suppose then for anyone looking at the moment, they really need to get into the job description and really get an understanding of
exactly
what they're doing. And you know, as you said, the two
exactly
HRBP and HR
exactly. And one thing I'll say on that as well is people are still moving. They're not afraid to look for jobs, and they're not afraid, I suppose, you know, they're not saying, oh God, we won't go because it's COVID, I'm not really sure what to do, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty. That's not there at all. You know, people are picking up the phone, they're saying, right, I'm after doing this great project here, I'd like to do it somewhere else now, or what's the story with that position, I'd really like to try out this industry. Or, you know, they're going for contracts as well. I suppose they're understanding that there's a skill set there to be learned, and if they can gain something new from a new job, why not? You know, there's still going to be another contract coming out of it. So that's really great to see, I think, even for the economy, that you're not getting that hesitation on the other end of the line. You know, you're getting, yeah, okay, let's do it. You know, so I'm liking that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just contrast that to, say, February. Or earlier, you know, once.
Yeah, that's a good question. Look, in February, or I suppose January, February as well, that hesitation still wasn't there either. You know, it was a busy, we were lining up for hopefully a very busy year. But what I was very, very busy with, I suppose, was purely recruitment. And that could have been even from grad recruitment to just block recruitment within businesses. The roles were, we were starting to really see, I suppose, an increase in the titles like employee engagement and organization development and stuff. They're still there, but I suppose now there's a more need for employee engagement. So that's going to be accelerated, I think.
Yeah, it feels like engagement and well-being. Yeah. Have just been,
yeah, I'd say the operation and stuff is always still there. That was really, really busy at the start of the year. And now HR, as you probably know yourself, Jacqueline, like everyone has kind of had to drop what they're doing and focus on COVID, you know. So eventually we will get back there, and the operations always needs to be done, but there's been a bit of a twist.
Yeah. Have you noticed anything in terms of how your clients, so employers, I will call them, are conducting the selection process? Obviously, I'm going to guess, you know, stuff like Zoom calls, telephone interviews, yeah, etc., are more prevalent. But in general, what other changes have you seen to the process?
The processes actually have stayed quite, I suppose, stable, as you say. But it is good. They're still going through the 3-round process. That's what we've seen actually, and at the start, we were kind of thinking, oh, they might just do 1 or 2 rounds, because at the end of the day, you're still just jumping on a Zoom call or your Teams call. What they're doing is they're selecting from a shortlist, just as they would, or we provide them a shortlist, they're selecting from that. They're doing a phone interview, which wouldn't have really happened in the past. You'd always be face-to-face, obviously, as you know yourself. But they, what they're doing is actually involving more people in the second round. Okay, so phone interview might be with the hiring manager. Second round, we're just seeing an involvement of, we'll say, 3 or 4 people on a Zoom call. So that may not all be at once. They might say, okay, can you Zoom with this person, they say, and 2 people this day, you know, at that second round. And then third round might be with another 3 or 4 people. And I think the reason why they're doing that, the reason some of my clients might be doing that, is to kind of just get a broader scope for the candidate, and to let them understand more about the business, because they're missing out a huge amount on not physically being able to walk in the door. You know, it's a huge part for me to be able to press somebody, this is where it is, you're walking in, the reception's to the left, the room you're going to be in is to the right. You know, they're getting a feel for it, they're seeing people having their lunch, they're seeing people walking past them either smiling or not in the corridor, you know, and they're seeing where the location is. Can I get here every day? You know, or is it actually too far for me? So unfortunately, that is a huge part that they're missing out on. So I think what they're doing to alleviate that is getting a lot of people on the Zooms, you know, when they're actually talking to a lot of people in the business. And it may not just be all senior leaders. It could be somebody who would be a peer to them or on a completely different team, just to see what's the company like, you know, how do you like it? And it's all done from home again. So it could be 3 or 4 people on a Zoom like this or individually. So that's actually working. And yeah, they're appreciating it, I think. The candidates are appreciating that because they're getting a feel for the business as best they can.
Yeah, totally. I think it's quite interesting when you walk through an organization, if, you know, if everyone looks like they're their watch ready to go home and or whether they're smiling.
Exactly. Yeah, you really get a good feel for it. So yeah, it's true.
Obviously, it's just far more scalable to do that when you know it's on a Zoom, as you say, or stuff.
Yes.
It does put more people in the decision-making process potentially, and that's affected speed to outcome.
No, honestly, what we've actually seen is quicker outcomes. And whether that be, look, what's happened sometimes is they said, okay, this is all great. Can you actually do third round this afternoon? You know, John wants to meet you or so-and-so wants to meet you. So genuinely, I did think actually that would be a difference in saying, oh God, there's so many people on a call. There's going to be so many opinions here. But no, the decision makers are still moving on pretty quickly. I suppose what we've also seen is the notice periods haven't had so much of an effect. We'll say if somebody has a 1 month notice period, the employers have been pretty lenient with that, and they're saying, okay, that's fine, look, if you have something else, take the 2 weeks, you know. So we've seen it, I suppose, speed there and speed to offer as well. And that's as well because I suppose the people who are looking at the moment and the people who are out there in the market are genuinely good candidates. We're not flooded with a market of people who have all been made redundant, or, you know, we're not there in recession times yet. Like, so the talent pool is there. And I think once we can kind of describe that to a client and understand, look, there's only 4 of these people in the country. 2 of them are going to interview you. 1 of them is only available in a month. They're moving, you know, so they're being pretty good about that.
Why do you think the employer who is losing the person who is joining the new company, why do you think their current employer are being so sound?
Yeah, it's a good, being so sound is a good one, yeah. It's hard to know, like, probably just because they're getting it on the receiving end as well. Like, they're also recruiting and they probably have people who can join just as quick, you know. We'd also see, like, now there's obviously circumstances where they just can't, you know, and they need them for the extra month. And we've had a couple of people who have asked to stay on 2 or 3 days, and that's absolutely fine. But the employers who were saying, yeah, go for it, that's obviously just because they have people ready to go themselves, you know.
Why do you think the decision made, I mean, you mentioned the decisions were getting made quicker as well. Any insights on that or any thoughts on what?
Yeah, that could be, look, even just from the ones that we have placed in, or say I've placed in the last couple of weeks, they needed them in, you know. It's kind of like, when do you need them to start? Yesterday, you know, we've had a lot of that. And they could be going in for very different reasons. And I suppose it all depends on the nature of the business and what's going on. So we'll say if they need them to come in to help with negotiations around redundancies, like they can't wait around, you know, so they have to make decisions very quickly. And it's down to the talent of the candidate. If they're good, they'll go, they'll jump. And I think they understand that now as well. We've seen a huge, I suppose, increase in that talent for senior level candidates with that huge scope. And as I said earlier, those people aren't afraid to move. So they're seeing a candidate and they're going, okay, we actually needed them for redundancies, restructuring and employee engagement. What we're actually getting is they can help us with the recruitment as well in hopefully a couple of months' time when we're back to full recruitment, or they can help with us with training and development, or even the employee or the strategy side, you know. So they have, it's been pretty positive actually.
Are you seeing at that sort of senior leader level, is it going as far as offer without ever a face-to-face?
Or yeah. We've actually only had one person go face-to-face last month. because we were, everything was kind of opening back up again, and they were actually physically able to come into the office because it was a small enough office. Yeah. But that was the only one. Everything else was on Zoom, which was great. Yeah. And started and everything.
We're fantastic. It's an interesting thing now, that a knock-on effect on something slightly further down the timeline or the pipeline from what you, where your role is, Aoife, in terms of improvement, is that onboarding piece. Have you seen any interesting stuff, any innovative approaches to that in their current service?
Yeah, and it's a good one because it's something that's definitely needs to be looked at quite seriously. I think what's going to happen is onboarding might even be a new role within HR in the next year or so. We've obviously, people have been onboarded remotely. It's been HR's job to do that, and it's been the recruiter's job to do that. But I genuinely think, this is only my own opinion, there's going to be a specific onboarder for remote workers, because I suppose in the past you might be able to, we'd say in a large tech firm, you could bring in 20 people and they're all starting on one day. In a smaller firm, like any of the management consultancies, they start people in blocks, you could have 10 people coming in, you're doing your induction training, you're doing absolutely everything all in a week, even the first 2 days. But that's tough now, and you need to have one individual person per starter. Now you can all jump on a Zoom and have the induction, which I think would actually help, because at the end of the day, it's very tough for candidates. You're essentially getting up, going into the shower, and going into another room to start a new job, So it has been tough, I suppose, but all that needs to happen genuinely is that they focus on it. Our clients need to focus on those new starters, not look after them and handhold them. At the end of the day, they're grown people, they understand how to do the job. But there's small things and we've seen that. One of my new starters around me said it was really weird not going over to someone's desk, introducing myself and saying, actually, where's the bathroom? Where do I get the staplers? it's just been a bit odd. Yeah, they're like, I don't know who to call. Mm-hmm. I don't know who to have the chats with. I don't know who my friend is going to be yet. So that's been tough. And I suppose people are getting on with it fine, because it's all new for everybody. Nobody really understands how this is going to work yet, and I'd love to have a crystal ball and say, oh God, we'll all be back in the office this time next year, but we may not be, So they're going to need to designate people to really look after new starters like that, and say that, look, a buddy up system or something. Say, if you have trouble getting into this system, call this person and introduce them, or set up a Zoom like this with the people who you'd normally be sitting on a pod with, or something like that. So a lot of effort needs to go into it, I think, and not just obviously for the people who are there, it's really for the new starters in your business. I think it's going to become very, very important, and quite possibly, as I said, a new job. It could be a new title.
Yeah.
As such,
I think that's a great shout. I certainly had the thought before, because it's been an area I've been responsible for in a couple of occasions, but of sort of like a concierge for corners.
Yeah.
But maybe I need to rethink about that again. I might have to steal that one.
Yeah, work away.
So in terms of approach, what would you advise candidates at the moment? So I remember when I started off in recruitment, but one thing I noticed really quickly at the time was, if I wanted to make a lot of money in HR, I would have went into comp and bens, because as a recruiter, that's where all the high salaries were. Now, I'm sure the people listening to this aren't as mercenary as potentially I was thinking at the time. But, what's that skill set that's really in demand at the moment that people could be thinking about?
Yeah, and I think, it's been coming up the last few years for me, and you'd probably know it yourself, but it's one that people kind of shy away from. I think I'd always hear, I'm talking to kind of generalists and they've done quite a bit, but they're kind of ready to not specialize, but go into their BP with a specialism role now. And they'd always say, oh, I don't want to do employee relations. I don't like it. Get me away from the WRC. It's just not something I like, but it's so important to every single role. You cannot progress without being an expert in employee relations, you know, being able to go into those tough negotiations, being having to go to the WRC on your own, representing your business on your own. And although, look, it's not very prevalent in COVID right now, but it absolutely is going to be. You're still going to be in the negotiations. You know, we're still going to have negotiations for not only, you know, genuine grievances and everything within the business, but it's going to fall into everything coming up in the next couple of years. So that's what I'd say. Don't shy away from that employee relations. There, sometimes people just hate it and they're not nice conversations, but you just have to learn to love it. You know, it's the people who say, oh my God, I love it. Yes, absolutely. They're the people who get ahead and just go with it. You know, every organization is going to need it, whether it be big or small. And for, if you're in a bigger organization, you may not need to do it because you'll have another focus, you know. Comp and bends is still obviously going to be there. And I think benefits especially is going to change a huge amount, because if we're not all in the office, they're going to need to change the benefits package. At the end of the day, you don't need a gym membership in town anymore, you know. You don't need free food on site. So they're going to need to have to look at that. And I don't know what that might be yet, but I think benefits is going to change as well. And I suppose coaching and mentoring, it's always a part of HR that's there. You're always going to need it, but even more so now, I think. And not even mentoring the employees, but it's people managers, you know, to understand how they can motivate their employees from home, to mitigate burnout. Like, HR have a huge responsibility at a time like now, but it's to really pinpoint those skills that they think, like these tough skills, they're really needed, and they're the ones that are going to get ahead, I think. It's using technology as well, and it's been able to kind of think ahead and be adaptable and say, what tech can we actually use? I suppose that's coming out, that will be able to help the organization. For things like that, learning and development, you know, is there anything new coming out? And there is going to be an awful lot, even Zoom, you know, like we would have never used Zoom before this. Like digital transformation, it's been thinking ahead and saying, how can a business benefit from this? And how can HR help it? And I suppose, but those skills, like, it's the thinking ahead and the adaptability really that I suppose HR are going to need to be quick on, because the managers aren't going to think of it first. Like, it is going to be them who are thinking what's been affected, like culture, engagement, communication, training and development, like what tech can help us, what can we bring into the business to really help HR's job to be able to do it, you know. I think there's going to be a lot of that coming down the line as well.
Interesting there. Quite a diverse group of things you mentioned there. No, but it sort of goes back to your point about the organizations looking for business leaders with that wide scope, you know, where they can support when lots and lots of different things. All really interesting. There's going to be people at varying stages in their career listening to this. For people just at the, you know, at that starting point, maybe they're a grad with, you know, a HR discipline. Maybe they don't have the HR discipline, but they want to, you know, get into HR. Any advice for those sort of people?
That's a good question. I suppose I would get asked that a lot, even from them, because we try to, you know, we'd recruit people at that level just as much as senior levels as well. And it's important, and it's tough starting out. You know, I get that. Like, I did my master's in HR as well, thinking I was going to go into HR, and I fell into recruitment and love it now as well. But what I'd say is just be open to everything. Go in with your eyes wide open, because whatever kind of HR intern role or HR administrator role you do get, and you don't like parts of it, there is so many other parts of HR that you will have to do as well. There's always going to be the administration as well. At senior director level, you're going to be doing some form of operations administration. So get used to that and start to love it as well. But genuinely go in, eyes wide open, and start to like put your hand up for as much as you can. So if there's a disciplinary, or there's, I suppose this would be a lot easier if we were in the office, but this is still going to happen. Like, if there is some form of HR meeting like that where you're saying, oh no, that's kind of scary, I don't want to go in there, I'm not listening to that, put your hand up and go into those tough meetings, you know, try and get as much exposure in as many different arenas as early as you can. And some businesses will really alleviate that. And if you do put your hand up and say, yes, look, I had an idea for this project, I want to go with it, just ask, you know. There's no, don't shy away from asking, and don't shy away from, I suppose, trying to develop a relationship with the senior stakeholders as early as you can. Don't be afraid to go up to the HR director if you're a HR intern and say, hi, I'm the HR intern, actually I saw what you were doing over here, I'm really interested in it, you know. Just have the confidence to do it, because that's what will, I suppose, get you noticed apart from the other ones that are there, and get you promoted quickly. Because once you start moving up, then like you just learn so much more, and you keep doing so. So just don't be afraid, go for it.
Yeah, I absolutely share your
good, yeah,
your thoughts on that. And definitely I'm always preaching to people about putting their hands up for stuff,
because yeah, yeah,
getting noticed if nothing else.
Exactly. If you're going to get shot down and they say no, we can't do it, fine, you've asked, you know. Yeah, and you've tried, go for the next one. Yeah,
absolutely. Last thing I just want to ask you about, Aoife, is you've obviously recruited and placed many senior HR people. What do you think is sort of the common traits that those people have? So, you know, if you're sitting here thinking about your career, you know, there's going to be experiences, there's going to be soft skills, yeah, there's going to be traits. That, any thoughts in terms of what commonality they share?
Yeah, definitely. What I'd say is adaptability, you know. I suppose being able to champion change and not just be okay with it, but champion it, and help your staff and your employees to champion change as well, and just be adaptable, just be able to switch off and have to drop something and go into something else very quickly. Commercial awareness, you know, at the end of the day, the business that you're working for needs to make money, and you are there to help them to do so at the end of the day. So it's whether that's like plugging skills gaps, even now or after COVID, you know, or, you know, reassigning roles or anything like that. At the end of the day, you have to be commercially aware, and you have to be commercial for the business as HR as well. Otherwise, you won't be listened to, you know. And finally, I suppose it's just thinking ahead. Like, we had no idea anything like this is going to happen to us at January, you know, and now every HR person and every industry as well is scrambling, changing constantly, and just not knowing what's there. So just really trying to pinpoint, right, what can we do if this happens? Like Monday night, for instance, when the Taoiseach said, okay, now all businesses are to work from home again. So there was a lot of change there as well. I'd say every HR manager in the country was up all night ringing their staff and saying, okay, we're back in, you know, you have to stay home tomorrow. And have you got everything? Do you have your webcam? Do you have your keyboard? You know, there's just constantly things changing, and you have to just be aware of it. So, and tenacious as well. Like, HR can be really tough sometimes, and it can, as you know yourself, like there can be really tough situations and tough meetings you have to go into, and tough things you have to do, anything like redundancies, but you just have to get on and love it and be there and do the job for the business, like, because it's the only thing I think that'll kind of get you ahead.
Yeah, excellent.
If you agree.
There's some of those there. I think one of the biggest things that people say about HR as a critique is that lack of commercial awareness. So, like,
yeah, you know, it is. Yeah.
You agree,
yeah,
with
the that. End of the day, you're there for the business, you know. Business has to make money.
Aoife, thank you so much for your time.
Not
today.
At all. Thank you for having me.
We may check in with you again at some point in the future to see
you
know, it's all.
Absolutely. I'd love that. Yeah.
For anyone who wants to get in contact with you, how do they do so?
Either through LinkedIn, you can find me, or you can get me on a.o'donovan@brightwater.ie. And I'd be happy to have a chat with anyone like that, as you said, any grads or anything trying to start out, or even anybody else, you know, just give me a call, because I'm more than happy to give any advice around that.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Aoife. Thanks again.
HRHeadquarters.ie.